3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD, a marketing services firm that delivers the future to healthcare's leading brands. This show is where we leave all things status quo, old school, traditional, and boring in the dust. And instead, we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the bold, all related to the future of healthcare marketing and communications. Hello, I'm Stephanie Rearwill, EVP of Strategy and Innovation here at BPD, and I'm joined by two very special guests. We have Jessica Schmidt, president of BPD, who has been on the show a few times before, and we're so happy to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Trish Bronner, EVP of Client Services here at BPD. Hi, Trish.
Hi. This is actually my first time on the podcast, so I'm so excited to be here and joining you ladies on here.
Yay. We have a jam-packed agenda because there is a lot to cover, so I'm going to quickly just talk through our agenda, and then we'll get into it. I do want to kind of check in with you all and see what you've been up to recently since you are a special guest to the show, so we'll just do a little check-in on all things fall, Halloween, sports, all the things. Then we have a few headlines. So first of all, we had the team out at Health 2025 in Las Vegas. We'll do a quick recap of that. And we also have some really exciting news here at BPD. So we'll share a little bit of announcements related to a partnership and acquisition that we just announced with MJH Life Sciences. We are then going to get into our main topic, which, since it's coming to the end of this year and we're rolling into 2026, we'll share just a little bit about what's on the C-suite's minds in the health system and hospital world, as all of us have been out and about with various CEO, CMO, COO members of health systems, and just kind of give a lay of the land there. So does that sound like a good plan?
Packed agenda.
Packed agenda. Okay, first a few little content plugs, housekeeping items. Quick note that BPD will be at the APRE conference. So we have our VP of Communications, Mike Petrone, who will be taking the stage to share some really awesome research and content called Tomorrow is Too Late. And that will be on October 29. And this will be all around how healthcare leaders can change negative narratives about their brands, about their reputations. And, you know, we know that there's a lot happening in that world that health systems have to deal with, whether it's issues and crises or policy challenges. So go to bpdhealthcare.com to learn more. And then also, our main host of the show for the last few years, Chris Bevelo, has moved on to an exciting new chapter, and so we will hear from him in a few weeks a little bit more about that. But I am just so excited for him. He's been, of course, in the healthcare marketing world for 25 plus years, has given so much through his voice, through his work, through his research, which we will, of course, continue referencing on this show. But just to all of our listeners who have been longtime partners to Chris, we all wish him so well, and we're so excited for him.
Yeah, but he will be still at Joe Public, right?
That's right, yes.
Awesome.
He will be at the Joe Public retreat. He will be leading that, and everyone can still say hi to him there. And we'll be continuing being his friend in many, many ways, so you'll hear from him.
Awesome. Other exciting news, in case you missed it in the intros, Stephanie, congratulations to you.
Yay.
New title of EVP of Strategy and Innovation here at BPD. So huge congrats to Stephanie, who's taking on a larger opportunity within BPD to run both our strategy team as well as our innovation and engagement team. So congrats to you. Can't wait to see what you're going to cook up there.
Thank you. I'm so excited. We just have a lot of exciting things happening here at BPD. So much headed down the road for our clients as well.
Yeah, lots of change.
Yes.
Lots of change.
Yes.
As we head into fall.
So I'm really curious, you all both have a lot going on in the fall season with your families, whether it's Halloween or sports. So Trish, tell us what you've been up to.
Oh my goodness. So fall in the Bronner house is a super busy time, mostly with all of our kids and the sports things. So we split our time between baseball fields, soccer fields. I sometimes run into Jessica on some of the soccer fields. So it's just a really busy sports season, and sometimes we are going all over the state of Florida on any given day, sometimes north and south and west all at the same time. So lots of busy things from a sports perspective and all things family and kids. But the other thing we love in the Bronner house in the fall is football season, NFL football season. So we are all big fantasy football people, including my children. So it's a nice competitive environment, and we love that too during the fall.
Go Birds.
Go Bears. As a Midwestern native, now a Floridian, but a Midwestern native, I will never abandon my Chicago Bears, no matter the season. But we've got some good momentum going, so we're always optimistic, us Chicagoans.
Okay, competitive happening here. But also in the family, it sounds like it, Jessica. Yeah. I know your family is also very competitive around the world of sports. So what's going on with you?
Yeah, so obviously, as Eagles fans, we are excited about the season we've kicked off. But the Schmidts are busy with, again, soccer, and similarly to what Trish shared. Love to run into Trish and others on the soccer field. But it's also a time of giving. I think as we talk about our clients, but as well as my family, it's a really important time for us. We love Thanksgiving. So we are excited to support the Boca Helping Hands Foundation, both at BPD, but as well as in our family and our children's school as well. So excited there. I know our friends in Nashville are also contributing to some local Nashville organizations over this Thanksgiving season. So I'm just excited to give back to our clients. It's a time of galas and exciting fundraising for our clients. So busy season before we wrap up the end of the year.
Yes, yeah. I'm so excited about all the things coming up.
Yeah.
I just landed a few days ago back from Las Vegas. The team was there at Health. I just have to say HLTH 2025 in Las Vegas, but it was so exciting. There was so much energy. I think it's the place, if ever you need to be re-energized about healthcare, that's the place to go. Everyone is there, from pharma to retail health to health systems to startups and VC and PE. Everybody is there talking about the future. And some of the interesting things that were shared, of course, AI was the headline. We heard from the CEO of Cleveland Clinic sharing some case studies around how Cleveland Clinic has applied AI. Google was sharing their health system partnerships around the applications of AI. We heard about the Hospital of the Future that was shared by Houston Methodist. So those are just some examples, but you also have retailers there, Kroger, Walgreens. Our friends from J&J brought a huge collaboration of nurses together. We will be sharing a lot of content in the coming weeks and months from BPD's channels, so I won't go into too much details
yet. Answer a question, because rumor has it that you interviewed Mark Cuban.
Oh.
Did you or did you not?
No.
Ah.
So what happened was our team was walking through the hallway, and all of a sudden, there was Mark Cuban, just nonchalantly.
Yeah, he was part of the conference.
Okay.
He spoke on the main stage about PBMs and pharmacy benefits and broke down all the pricing and transparency challenges in the world of PBMs. He got the whole crowd really riled up. But before he did that, he was standing right in front of us in the hallway and doing an interview. So our team captured a photo.
Listen, we kept continuing with Continue with the rumor as was.
Yeah, I love it. I love a rumor.
So what happens in Vegas, right?
Yes, that's right. Okay, why don't we get into one more headline and then our main topic. So super, super exciting to announce that MJH Life Sciences has acquired BPD.
Yes.
And we have been meeting with MJH, and we're just so excited about all the opportunities that this brings our clients. So I might ask you, Jessica, if you want to just share, you know, what's exciting you about this news?
Gosh, so much. For those of you that aren't familiar with MJH Life Sciences, they are the largest medical media company in the Northern America hemisphere. So lots of opportunity, lots of new connections for our existing clients. It allows MJH to broaden what they're offering to their clients, and it allows BPD more access to CME credits, to new and exciting media channels and content. And again, as BPD grows, it's just more opportunities, allowing BPD to deliver more for our clients that have been with us for, gosh, some of them over two decades now. So lots of growth. And lots new to come, even as we explore this. It's brand new. It just happened a week ago. So still uncovering all of the opportunities out there for us.
Yeah, I'm so excited because I think that, you know, we have such similar philosophies. And so as we at BPD, of course, always think about how do we grow the businesses of hospitals, health systems, care delivery enablers, healthcare innovators, MJH Life Sciences has such a realm of offerings for all of those and more, and ways, really interesting ways to reach healthcare decision makers and physicians.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be really, really fun.
Yeah. And I think the other piece I really want to share with everyone listening is the shared philosophies and the culture, right? I think that MGH's purpose is to connect more patients to care, and a very similar purpose to BPD of igniting healthcare greatness. So again, I think it's the perfect place for BPD, and I'm excited about where the future lies for us and the clients we're serving.
Yeah, that, you know, as I spend most of my day talking with, you know, various clients that BPD serves, and we are always looking for more ways to serve our clients and really help drive the impact that they're making in the communities and the folks that they're serving. So this is a really exciting opportunity to just continue to support our clients in more ways and help them help their communities and serve their communities in more ways. So much more to come as we are continuing to dive into this new chapter for BPD and new chapter for our clients as well.
Yeah. Awesome. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. So let's get into our main topic here. As we are headed into 2026, and as I mentioned, and you just said, you know, you're with our clients every single day. You're chatting with C-suite members of health systems all the time. And so we're hearing what's on their minds, and we're hearing kind of where they're headed and what they're thinking. There's been quite a bit of really solid news coverage around this as well from various healthcare trade publications. And one actually is an MJH property, which is Chief Healthcare Executive. And so we'll link a couple of these articles in the show notes, but there's a few articles that we'll reference throughout, which is around what's on kind of CEOs' minds right now and just what are the changes happening in the space. So I'm going to tee up just sort of four trends that we've been collectively seeing, and we'll talk about them. So I think the first is just, of course, this area of how do health systems continue to grow strategically? That could be in some markets through M&A, which that activity has been picking up at the back half of this year. So one of the articles that were referenced in our show notes actually shows the statistics that come from Kaufman Hall's studies. And in Q3, M&A activity actually did pick up around hospital mergers. So that's one area of growth. Another area of growth that we've been hearing a lot about is this area of cost containment. So how can health systems really ensure that they are, you know, running a business that creates both mission and margin, because you need both?
Yep.
So that's trend number one. And we'll come back to that in a second. Let me just tee up a few of the other trends as an overview. The second is around physician and healthcare workforce engagement, which we do a lot of work here around. And we know that we have to keep our various team members at health systems very engaged to keep the business strong. Thirdly is patient volume, but also patient access. And then fourthly, of course, is AI.
Yep.
So let's start with our first, which is strategic growth and really driving a strong, financially healthy business as a health system. I'll ask you, Jessica, what are you seeing right now as you chat with clients, just thinking about business planning for 2026?
Well, I think you covered it a little bit up front, but I think the idea of mergers and acquisitions is a big one, right? How do we find the right targets? How do we make sure that we're providing the most access? The landscape keeps changing, and where patients maybe were hesitant to go in, they are looking for those providers again. They're re-engaging with kind of the more traditional channels as well as the non-traditional channels. So how do you find that good balance to allow patients the access to the care they need and deserve? Again, we talked about mission, and one of the synergies that we have with MGH is bringing more healthcare opportunities more to the communities our clients serve. And so how do these healthcare providers pick the right targets? How do they focus their limited resources in the right places to provide as much access? And how do they attract and retain better physicians and care providers? I know that Trish will touch on that in a minute, but I think it is kind of all linked together as we talk about the 2026 strategies and beyond.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, the work that we do often is, you know, helping them think about the holistic picture strategically and providing the data that shows, hey, here's what patients need, yeah, here's where patients are, but then also communicating a merger or an acquisition or growth. Let's say a health system is growing regionally, right? Communicating that is a really big lift on its own. And in fact, BPD just produced a paper, and we're speaking next week at the Becker's Healthcare Conference, which you'll be at.
Yes, I will.
Which is all around the intersection of brand and M&A.
Yes.
So as health systems think about, let's say maybe you have an acquisition that's coming up, maybe you're acquiring a hospital, maybe you're acquiring a series of urgent care practices, whatever it is, often brand is like the last thing thought of. And what this paper shows that's super interesting is you can actually save millions in EBITDA if you think about that overarching, you know, experience of how patients will experience your brands. So I think that to your point about this is all connected, you know, M&A may sometimes seem like this thing that lives over in a silo, but in fact, it ties to workforce engagement, it ties to communications, all of that.
Yes. And this is something, you know, we talk to our clients about all the time, where they might come to us and say, hey, this is about to be announced, or maybe it just was announced. Now what? You know, what do I do from a communications and people and culture perspective, and where do we start? So we're hearing, as this activity has been picking up over the past like half of the year, we're hearing, you know, more of those, you know, just complex problems from our clients, and just how can we support them in navigating this new world that they might be in?
And how do we arm them to show that it's not about service line volume campaigns anymore, but it's actually about the brand message and making sure that both our clinicians, our caregivers, but also our patients all know that we're part of a bigger piece right now, right? We might pick up individual brands, but we're not necessarily telling the story and showing the benefit to the patients we're serving. And they're still struggling to find out how I access care. And so how do we actually solve that for the patients in the communities we're serving?
Yeah, truly. I love one of the quotes in one of the articles that we'll link, but it's from the CEO and president of Stanford Health. And what he said was, you know, this is such a complex environment right now. And he's kind of referencing policy changes and, you know, financial challenges the health system have. And he said, we can't continue to do the same thing that we've been doing. And I just love that. He kind of unpacked it around everything from AI and innovation to patient access. But that was also a key trend at health, and a key theme at health was, you know, patients are really struggling to just wait times. They're so long at the moment. And that's because of everything from, you know, the physician shortage to, you know, all kinds of issues. But thinking about these things collectively through the mind of the patient and through data is really the way forward.
Yeah, that's a really powerful one. I think access, the frustration, the unknown, and how do we help ease the uncertainty in the market. I think that's a big opportunity for us as marketers and healthcare leaders to really answer for the patients and also our workforce.
Yeah. So you mentioned workforce.
Yeah.
How do we go to the next trend?
Let's do it.
You've been very close to recently. So, you know, the physician shortage, burnout, that has been this like scary, scary thing that's been happening for years. It's not new news.
It's not new news.
It's not new news.
And so I think what is new news is a little bit of how health systems have been addressing it lately. And it continues to be top on the mind of the C-suite moving into 2026, as we recognize that, you know, labor is still the top expense on the finance list, but it also is a revenue driver when we think about physicians especially. So Trish, what are you seeing as we head into 2026 around this trend?
Really, I think you really nailed it, Stephanie, with the new news being how health systems are viewing this complex issue moving forward. So this used to be something that a lot of our clients that we work with closely at BPD, that they weren't even involved with. This was maybe more of an HR issue, and that's sort of how it was perceived on the healthcare side. But now what we're seeing with so many folks that we work with is HR is reaching out to the communications and the marketing folks on, hey, what can we do about inspiring our team? We know all the things, the labor shortage and the burnout and all the things. What can we do to re-engage our team, to inspire them, to really understand and come back to the mission of their organization, whatever that might be, and why we're here, how we're serving our community. So a lot of the work that we've been asked to do over the past year, more so than any time before in our history, is how can we support those efforts? How can we help re-inspire those teams, help them really understand why they're there, what the purpose is, make sure they understand that they're appreciated and we see you. So we are working on a lot of different things with our clients right now, just in that space alone, really more so than ever before.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess I'll reference back what you said earlier, which is all this really connects, and we'll get to AI and innovation in a minute. But I think one thing that's been really interesting lately, and I heard at Health as well, was something like ambient listening. So taking AI ambient listening, where physicians can, you know, leverage AI in an appointment to take notes for them, has actually been re-inspiring physicians. I even heard some examples of, hey, we've had physicians who were going to retire, and that because of this rollout and because of the innovation that the system has done, they said, I don't want to retire. I'm actually like back in.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, from a chief marketing officer standpoint, this could be everything from helping ensure that the workforce understands the brand, helping ensure that they have that, you know, calling that's reunited, helping make sure that, you know, we have internal communications around, you know, even benefits. But also it could be working in partnership with the C-suite to roll out the right engagement tools.
And support tools, right?
Yeah.
How do we keep the workforce that has just strapped for time? How do we really support them better? How do we give them those tools to be successful and to better care for the patients? And I think that that's a great use of the AI. And I know that's your passion.
It is. It is. Let's, before we get to AI, I do want to really quickly touch on, you've mentioned patient access quite a few times, and it is one of the most complicated struggles
it is
at the moment. And I don't want to sit here and say like there's an easy solution for it, because there's not. It's very complex. But I think the one thing that's really interesting is that, as you know, our chief marketing officer partners continue to try to drive patient volume, they have to constantly flex between where is their capacity. So what has either of you seen in that realm? And it doesn't have to be a solution, right? It could just be, here's the challenges that are that chief marketing officers are up against.
That's funny. I just actually shared some feedback with one of the clients we serve on an experience in one of their local facilities that a BPDer shared with me. And so I called her and I said, hey, just a little mystery shopping at your brand. A BPDer in one of our markets used your facility and they had a wonderful experience. And she said, thank you for that feedback. It's great to hear. We actually had a problem in that location, and we were able to quickly solve it and fix it. And I'm so glad that it's worked. And I think that it was a real demonstration of the fact there are probably some small tweaks that really impact the patient experience that are able to allow us to drive better throughput in this with our clients. And they're often just little tweaks here and there. Someone answered a phone and they were able to actually tell a patient the time or the services at that location. And that patient was then able to get the access to the care. But it's not big things or it's not monumental things. It's just some of the small things that I think of as we've all gotten busy and life's gotten complicated that our clients aren't able to necessarily affect like they used to.
That's honestly such a breath of fresh air that it doesn't have to be this like big thing to untangle. It could be something really small that's implemented. It could be something as simple as, you know, maybe re-engaging a call center and saying, how can we think differently? It could be something as simple as partnering with, you know, the EHR provider to say, what could a MyChart experience look like? And all of that is now following into the role of the CMO, which is very different. Anything that you've seen, Trish, in this front?
I think when we think about patient access, driving service line volumes, one of the complex things our clients are dealing with, a lot of them are, hey, we don't really have a whole lot of capacity, but at the same time, I'm being asked to drive volumes. So a conversation that we're often having is, okay, let's dig into the data and find really smart targeted areas of where are there the most, you know, pockets for volume. Where are those volumes and opportunities to drive higher revenue, higher margins? And so we're really partnering with our clients to be very targeted, very specific, really smart and data-driven versus casting a wide net when we know that there are these capacity challenges as well. So that's kind of just another area that we're really hearing a lot about and digging into with our clients.
I think we're also able to use that data to help identify the seasonality and turn things off and on, right? So when we get that quick call that says, hey, we don't have any more capacity at this location, but we're dying for capacity at this new location, I think that it's really empowering to be able to have the data and the technology now to just turn something off and turn something on that really meets the client's needs. And I think that that's really powerful.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's hit our last topic here. We'll hit very quickly because we've been chatting a lot about AI on the No Normal Show for the last few months. But just through this lens of, you know, what are C-suites thinking about headed into 2026, AI is absolutely one of the top of the list. And it's in a few ways. I think, you know, outside of the marketing function at health systems, of course, there's so many clinical applications of AI that now near the end of 2025, there are actual practical case studies for. I mentioned ambient listening earlier. That's the most popular that many health systems have already implemented and seen results from. But there's everything from our friends at Google at HCA have partnered to implement nurse handoffs that are smarter and better and faster with AI. There's remote patient monitoring, all of that is happening. So I think from a chief marketer standpoint, it's really important to consider heading into 2026, how do we get our arms around what's happening from a clinical standpoint and communicate it to patients in a way that makes sense to them? Because that is the job of marketing and communications, to ensure that you're communicating everything from what patients should expect to why your system is doing it better than the system down the road, and so on and so forth. I think the other real topic that we see headed into 2026 here in the realm of AI is marketing communications teams wanting to really lean into AI for their internal workflow purposes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been supporting in this area and I think have so many takeaways and learnings. But one of them is that this is a long process and this is a change management approach. And so even some of the health systems who have been out in front, you know, in January of 2025 saying this is what we're doing this year, even for those, you know, it's challenging to get a very large Marcom team up and running and adopting new tools and working differently. So it will be a continued, I think, area of priority in 2026 and beyond. But you hear these questions all the time. Is there anything else that you would add?
No, I really think you nailed it again with just the, this is what our clients are asking about is what, how do we get started? We know that this is something we want, or maybe my CEO is asking me to do this, but I'm not really sure what to do. I know there is opportunity. So it's a lot of just trying to navigate the space. And even for those who might be more early adopters, you know, they've even had some challenges really getting some momentum going within their organization. So it definitely takes time. We're all navigating it. And so we're, as we get questions, we're continuing to just dive in and help our clients make those steps, make those progress, you know, one little thing at a time.
Yeah. We'll be talking about this with Joe Public, won't we?
That's right. So we are gearing up for an exciting Joe Public retreat in February. It's going to be called the AI Dream, and we will be have kind of a closed door session with up to 40 chief marketing officers. And the whole focus will be, how do you rethink everything with AI at the center? So we'll be dreaming up experiments, we'll be in the lab,
yes,
doing it together. And so I can't wait for that. And if anybody listening has already signed up,
it's right here in Florida too, right? In Miami. Nice trip in February.
Sunny February.
There you go.
Awesome. So for everybody listening or watching, thank you so much for joining the No Normal Show. And please share with us, are there any trends that we missed?
Yeah.
Anything that you're hearing internally at your health system? Just thinking about what's top on your mind and what are your priorities for 2026? And we would love to hear from you. So with that, please give us, as always, a rating and review. We love it. And push the No Normal. Don't settle for the normal. And we'll talk to you soon.
Three, two, one.